Now I go back, and I want you to go back in your mind to last Sunday. If you were at Zion last Sunday, I spent the time about the Holy Spirit helping people to understand that the Holy Spirit is God inside you. I tried to say this to the young man because he's wrestling with some personal problems. I said, you have some help inside of you that maybe you don't know about. And so I talked about the God who is hidden, the God who is not sort of out there in a picture for you, the God who is here. And he had an Anglican baptism, so he also has a belief in the Holy Spirit coming in his baptism. But he's never had anything more to do with Christianity or with his faith. And so for him, all of that was pushed aside in favor of just living. Now I probably have many hours of counseling left with him. And I'm glad he raised the question, because that's the best way for it to start. But God described as triune or trinity. How do you understand that? How do you understand the triune God that is trinity? It's, the problem is that people look at it as an arithmetic set of words, okay? 3 and 1 equals 1. Everybody who has gone to arithmetic since I was a kid, I can remember that it was never true. 3 was not 1 ever. You know? And it's very difficult to convince people, and I've sat with many adults already over the years and tried to help them to understand this God in whom we believe. Because there's nothing more important to our faith than to know the God in whom we believe, whom we worship, who cares for us, who loves us with an eternal love, and who helps us in all the decisions we make. It's very important to know that God. Last week, on one occasion, we were invited out for lunch, and we sat there with three couples, six people, and we were, because I'm a pastor, it almost attracts the challenge of theology to people who sit with us. And so we spent a whole lot of time at that lunch talking about faith in God, and the application of that faith. And most of the people there were Lutherans from way back. And they have so much trouble with the people in the world around them because they don't know the same God as these older people do. That's true about all kinds of people in the world. And the difficulty for us is this triune God. Islam, for instance, has a one God theology. Allah is God, and there is no other. So when they listen to us saying Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, they say, you Christians celebrate, you worship three gods. You have to know the difference. I wanted so to bring a flower that we have on our table in the living room for us today, because it showed so much of an example of what triune God is. There's one plant, and it has three lots of flowers. It's an orchid. And the first one is right by the root. The second one is as far as the first arm pushes it out. And there's another cluster of flowers. And then there was a little shoot alongside that arm. And that one is just now opening up. So we have three clusters of flowers in one plant. And it's the beauty of the plant is not because of the one set of flowers, but the fact that there are three. And in my household, I can hardly ever get away from seeing pictures of God, even in a set of flowers like that, because they all come from the one set. They're one God. And what in my parish in Calgary, we joined together with another congregation to help them. They were an old congregation that had about 50 members left. And they were right downtown on very, very expensive property, and they didn't have the money to keep the old building up. And it wasn't all that old, it was from 1958, I helped dedicate it. But it was also leaking all over the place. And these 50 old people couldn't care for it anymore. So they said, we need help. And they came to our congregation and said, you've got lots of good leadership in your congregation. Help us. We'll sell the property downtown, and it will yield us a lot of money. And we said, well, okay, we'll help you. How do we do it? Well, first of all, we sold the property for $3.5 million. Okay, so lots of money, okay? So we formed a congregation of three different places. We had the congregation where I was, the pastor, which was a strong congregation of people and leaders, the old church downtown, and we decided to keep an office church downtown, and then we started a new mission in the opposite end of the city. So we had a congregation on the south end, the middle, and the north end of the town, city of Calgary. What name should we use for this? We said we want it to be one congregation, but there are three places. So the best example that we have in our theology is triune. And so we called it Triune Congregation, Lutheran Triune Congregation. Nobody understood that except the people who made the name, okay? But it was also a way to have to explain that all of us are together as one, yet we are at three different places. And it worked out very well. In the end, the downtown got closed, that was the first one, and we established the new congregation in an ecumenical place with the Roman Catholics, because they were willing to build with us. And now they are two churches in one building. They have separate church services. This one is the Lutheran one. Across the baptistry is the Roman Catholic one. And then we have the dedication of that place. The Roman Catholic bishop and our bishop in Alberta baptized babies there at that font. And to signify that we also have the same baptism, the Roman Catholic bishop baptized the Lutheran baby, and the Lutheran bishop baptized the Roman Catholic baby. And this was to indicate what happened in a triune congregation of what could happen in that kind of place. There is nothing more important than the God in whom we believe. And what God has done for us is so important for us. Every Sunday, we say the Creed, the Apostles' Creed. Do you know about that? Do you know how that came into being? Did you have any instruction about it in confirmation that you can remember? Yeah, I suppose everybody did. I did. But I think to myself, well, you know, you have studied for the ministry, so therefore it's acceptable that you should have had instruction on it about the Creed. Let's turn to page 1162. One of the things that Martin Luther insisted on in his speaking about preaching was that the pastor should use the opportunities to do some teaching. Okay, the Apostles' Creed comes to us from the second century of Christianity. It is not something that was invented for the Lutherans. It was something that Christianity put together for the sake of the people who became baptized into Christianity. The first creeds that were spoken were just simple questions. Do you believe in God the Father? Yes, I do. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yes, I do. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Yes, I do. That was the first creed of the Apostles' Creed, and then it got expanded so that by the year 125 after Christ, it was all the things that we normally say every Sunday in the church. Then Luther came along and he decided that we should learn more about this than just the words that we say from memory. So let's look at the additional words in the paragraph that follows, that I believe in God, that God has created me with all that exists, God has given me and still preserves my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all limbs and senses, reason, and all mental faculties. That's the first understanding of I believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth. And then, in addition, look at what Luther said about the God in whom we believe. God daily and abundantly provides shoes and clothing, food and drink, house and farm, spouse and children, fields, livestock, and all property, along with all the necessities and nourishment for this body and life. God protects me against all danger and shields and preserves me from all evil. And all this is done out of pure, fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness of mine at all. For all of this I owe it to God to thank and praise, serve and obey Him. This is most certainly true. And most people remember this is most certainly true. Anywhere. I remember that set of words very well in German and English. Second article. This is now the credo statement of I believe in Jesus Christ. What is this? What does it mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father in eternity, and also a true human being, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned human being. He has purchased and freed me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. He has done all this in order that I may belong to him, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting, eternal righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead and lives and rules eternally. There's a huge, a lot of stuff there. Think about it when you read it again. And the third article, we read that last week, okay? I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. This is an all-inclusive kind of thing. And here, again, I read it last week. I believe that by my own understanding or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But instead, the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gift, and made me holy and kept me in the true faith. Just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and makes holy the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one common true faith. Daily in this Christian church, the Holy Spirit abundantly forgives all sins, mine and those of all believers. On the last day, the Holy Spirit will raise me and all the dead and will give to me and all believers in Christ eternal life. What a wonderful statement of faith. Those statements of faith are 500 years old now. And they were written by Martin Luther. And he wrote them and gave them out to all the pastors that were preaching in the Lutheran Church at the time of the Reformation. Because he was concerned that the people must hear and know the true God, not just any particular thing that the pastor wanted to talk about that day, about the garden or the animals. And it was important for him that everyone should know what God is and how God is for us in all the things that we look at about God. This is so important to me also, and frankly, I'm one of the people who sees the need for us to be more clearly aware of who God is in our lives, because there are an awful lot of people around us who ask questions about God, or who define God a different way. The worst example that I have in my ministry of how people misunderstand God is that they see God only as a judging king sitting on the throne and saying, you're over there and you're over here and I hope I don't see you anymore, don't bother me. That's the kind of attitude there is toward God in our world. And there's lots of people who see God as, oh, how could there be a God when all those children in Rwanda were killed? Why didn't God intervene? See, the manipulation wanting that once people want with God, they won't have the power to tell us, everybody, what God should be doing and how God should be, rather than how God is. And it's so important for us to know how God is and who God is, so that we can answer those questions with the people who might chat about God with us one day. I pray that all of you, whenever you're asked to talk about God with somebody, even obliquely, that you know enough to go to the creed and say, these are the things that I know about my God. This is how I understand God. I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in God and Jesus Christ, but the Holy Spirit has come into me and helped me. That kind of a thing is very important for us in our day. So, Trinity Sunday. I thought, what else do I do on Trinity Sunday? Preach an exhortation about the meaning of the gospel, the meaning of the creed, or let the creed be read. So we read it. You'll also notice that in the service that I also created a prayer for the Trinity. And I hope that that prayer is one that you will take home with you and look at again and again. And there in that prayer, I want us to read, all of us to read the dark. I'll read the lighter print and you read the darker print. And I'm going to work through that prayer slowly, so that we, as we read something like that we understand it as well. So God be with us this day and always. It's been very good to be a pastor here. And I hope that you may at least remember me on my birthday.